Isn't God good? I don't know about you, but I get excited when people repent and turn to Jesus. Folks, that's why we exist as a church, is to get the gospel out, to spread the gospel and pray for lost sinners to come to repentance and be saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but there's no more excitement in all of my life than to see someone repent and get saved by the grace of God. Boy, what a blessing. Brother Sonny and Darlene, it is so good to have y'all in this fellowship. Thank God for you. Pray God will send more and more and more and more to be saved, to repent. We would just see the kingdom of God just take off and flourish and grow like never before. Amen? All righty. If you have a copy of the Word of God with you this morning, I want to encourage you to turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus says he's the light of the world. He says he's the bread of life. And now he says he is the good shepherd, the door of the sheepfold. Right here in John chapter 10, starting in verse 1, Jesus is speaking. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Your translation may have safe. He will be saved or safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Our Father in heaven, I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit to preach your precious word. Lord, give me clarity. Lord, give me authority, Lord God. Pray that we have come here to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts. Lord, let there be a fresh outpouring upon your word in the preaching of it this morning. Lord, that lost sinners would repent and be saved before it's too late, and that us as your people would be edified and built up, and all, most of all, that in everything that's said and done, that we would decrease and Jesus Christ would increase. For it's in his precious and holy name we pray. Amen. One godly writer wrote of this passage, he said, when you think of sheep in a sheepfold, we Westerners may not understand this simile. Something that you use as a comparison, the two things are totally different, but you use it as a comparison to make a point or to compare something. And that's what this is. It's a simile. We're not sheep, but we're compared to sheep. Sheep are prone to wander. Wouldn't you agree? They need a shepherd. And we as people, we need a shepherd. We're prone to wander. We need someone to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to protect us. This passage is filled with spiritual truths. So let us imagine that we're on holiday in the Holy Land, he said. We visit some of those sacred and holy spots where our Lord Jesus Christ walked, talked, and worked. Slept and ate. Then we crossed the lovely Bethlehem fields and pastures where David used to feed his sheep or everywhere. Soon we come to a structure so high that we cannot scale it, so thick that we cannot penetrate it. As we walk around it, we wonder what it can be in the middle of nowhere. We see an opening in our doorway, and only the hoof marks of sheep having gone in and out or in the doorway, but no door. Soon a shepherd appears. A club swings from his belt, In his hand is a staff, and behind him there are 100 sheep. As he approaches, we question him. And to our joy, we find out that he speaks English. Cajun English at that. I was overjoyed. When he tells us that the structure is a sheepfold, we inquire, "Do you keep the sheep here by night?" "Yes," the shepherd replies. "But how can they be safe without a door?" we ask again. With a twinkle in his eye, he stands tall and he says, "I am the door." "Do you stay here all night?" we continue. "I do," the shepherd replies. "I build myself a shepherd and sit here and keep vigil in all kinds of weather to protect my sheep. No lion, bear, wolf, or hireling can enter into this sheepfold. I am a good shepherd. I will lay my life down for these sheep to protect them." To prove his point, he draws aside his eastern robe, and sure enough, there are scars on his arms and his body to prove that he has faithfully protected his sheep. He explains that these are wounds which he has suffered as he has fought off animals while defending his sheep. When our Lord Jesus Christ uttered these words, he was looking beyond Calvary to resurrection life. Having suffered the wounds of battle and risen triumphantly, he stands at the doorway of God's sheepfold and says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be safe, and will go in and out and find pasture." What a great shepherd we have, amen. What a beautiful description of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who suffered and bled and died and rose from the dead. We come into the kingdom of God through Christ. We're protected by Christ. We're taken care of by Christ. What are some things that we can bring out of this passage of scripture that would encourage us and even excite us about our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, he's the door of protection. Number one, from severe elements, he says in verse 9, "If anyone enters through, he will be saved," and your translation may have "safe." The shepherd protected the sheep. He protected the sheep from fire and from winds and from snow and heat and all the elements that would threaten their lives and their very essence of living and surviving. The shepherd was there to protect them. And think about this. Luke wrote in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, he says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men everywhere should repent, because he has fixed the day in which the Lord Jesus, he will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus Christ that he raised from the dead." Now, folks, imagine this for a second. Most of the world right now don't realize that this world is underneath the judgment and the wrath of God. And I want to tell you this morning, according to God's word, Jesus as the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, who will appear in all of his glory, is the only way we can be protected from all of the elements of wickedness and ungodliness that is coming down the pipe. Folks, at a speed like never before, have you seen so much darkness and ungodliness and wickedness? And yet the only way to find refuge, the only way to find safety is to come and be saved by the grace of God before it's too late. Brother Larry Jordan said something, boy, and it just stuck with me. He said this society is stuck on stupid. They're not stuck on stupid, folks. They're stuck on wickedness and ungodliness. I mean, I saw something just yesterday that if it wouldn't have been so sad and heartbreaking, it was comical. Now we don't just have transgender, we got transabled. A person can choose to be disabled if they want their own mind and even have this disorder that they might want their hand removed or their leg removed because there's a disorder there, they're disabled. And then the next step, of course, they're going to file a petition with the government for disability, and they're not disabled. Folks, society is stuck not on stupid, they're stuck on wickedness. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the only shepherd, is the door that anyone must enter in if they're going to be safe and delivered from this ungodly and wicked world that we live in. One godly writer wrote it like this. He said, this sin-stained, stubborn, defiant world is moving on to its hour of judgment. The wrath of God is soon coming, and no one can stop it, and most are not expecting it. Be saved now. Repent while you have the opportunity. You may not live to have another day or opportunity to follow Jesus. And yet, people wonder if there's going to be a worldwide revival before the return of Christ. Folks, I see the opposite taking place. They will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap up teachers for themselves. Wanting their itchy ears tickled, they will turn away from the truth. They will follow these thieves and these robbers, these false messiahs, these false teachers. Folks, I'm telling you, you drum up a big old barrel of stupidity and people will flock by the thousands to hear heresy. We are there. And yet Jesus says, be saved from these severe, wicked, ungodly situations that we're going to find ourselves in. And then we see the door of protection, not only from severe elements, but from savage enemies. The shepherd would not only protect his sheep and protect them during the weather, during the wind, during the snow, the heat and fires and all of these elements. The good shepherd would protect the sheep from the lions and from the bears and from the wolves. Reminds me when I was a little boy, the Wizard of Oz. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, boy. We got a different type of lion and tiger and bear going on, folks. We got false teachers and preachers and false gospels springing up. And when he talks about the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, most people refer to that as Satan. But in its proper context, it's talking about false messiahs and false teachers and preachers. And, folks, the world is full of them right now. The world is full of it. There's a false gospel on every corner, but the true gospel. Christ said he's come to protect us from all of these false teachers and all of these false preachers. How? With the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God took on the form of flesh. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, born of a virgin, perfect and sinless. And his precious blood and the cross of Calvary is the only thing that can save someone by the grace of God. I don't know what door you're coming in by, but I tell you what, you better come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. From savage enemies, I lay my life down, he says in verse 15, for the sheep. A good shepherd protects his sheep from the wolves and the lions and the bears and the enemies of God. He's always protecting his bride. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you'll have peace, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I love Psalm 91, 1 and 2. The Bible says in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. Folks, God not only saves you, but he protects you. He shields you. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. If God be for me, who can be against me as a child of God? What shall separate me from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Aren't you glad that God don't just save you to get you to heaven? He saves you to protect you and to lead you and to guide you and direct you as a good, good shepherd. Then we see from subtle enticements as a good shepherd. He says right here in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And we said earlier, sheep are prone to wander. I'm not a sheep herder. Folks, but I always heard sheep are not the most intelligent animals on the face of the earth. They have a tendency to wander. They go astray, not knowing that they, when they leave the presence of the shepherd, they're endangering themselves. They're about to get in trouble. And I want to tell you, Jesus protects us from all the subtle enticements as a good shepherd. A good shepherd will know his sheep are prone to wander. He will watch over them carefully, keep an eye on them. He gives us his word to instruct us. Jesus gives us his spirit to empower us. And he gives us brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us along the way as sheep. His word to instruct us. His spirit to empower us to obey his word. Folks, we serve a good, good God. Aren't you glad you're in the sheepfold? Aren't you glad you've been saved by the grace of God and Jesus didn't just save you to get you to heaven? He saved you to use you on earth for the glory of God and to protect you from all the false teachers and preachers of the world and to take you and use you for his glory and to even protect you from wandering and getting out there and getting off track and doing things that will hurt you and possibly even destroy your life. Dr. Stephen Alford, in his college days, talks of seminary. His evangelism class when he was in London was to go out into witness from 11 p.m. to 6 in the morning at the famous Piccadilly Circus. At that time, from 11 p.m. at night to 6 in the morning, it's about the time everybody was hitting the cabarets and the pubs and drunkenness was taking place during this famous circus's celebration. He went out to witness for his evangelism class, and as he began to spread the gospel, he began to run into person, at man after man after man. Some were successful lawyers, some were successful doctors, and others were very successful people in life, and many of them who at one time professed to know God and were in church. They were coming out of pubs and cabarets, shunning him, mocking him for spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on their now newfound territory. There was a common thread amongst those doctors and lawyers and successful businessmen. The common thread was this. They were once in church serving God, but now their lives was in disarray. They had lost their wives. They had lost their families, and many of them had lost everything they had worked hard for all of their lives. And the common thread was this. They once claimed to be close to God, but they thought they could drift and color outside the lines and get a little bit closer to sin. Well, folks, I want to tell you, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with temptation make you a way to escape. I think about that young man as we were standing on Bourbon Street for Mardi Gras, and I was there to preach and to pass out tracts. Don't get nervous. And as we were witnessing and passing out tracts, a young man comes with a long-necked beer in his hand, and he's staggering, and you can tell he's about three sheets in the wind. Before we can even start witnessing, he looks at the gospel tracts, and big tears begin to roll down his eyes. He said, you guys don't understand this. He said, but I was in church at one time. I was serving God faithfully. I know I'm saved. I'm in a backslidden state and I should be doing what you guys are doing. He set the beer down in his drunken state and I'll never forget it. Asked for a handful of tracts and drunk began to pass out tracts and asked God to forgive him for his backslidden state. Stay close to the shepherd, folks. The shepherd will protect you. Stay close to the shepherd. The shepherd will provide for you. Stay close to the shepherd. He will give you wisdom and give you understanding to stay away from those subtle attacks of the devil. It's well been said, sin will take you further than you want to go, make you stay longer than you want to stay, and you will pay more than you can ever afford to pay when you think you can get away from the shepherd and last long in this ungodly world that we live in. Jesus is the door of purpose. We see a life of liberty in verse 10. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. You go back to the beginning of John chapter 8, and you'll find at the very beginning of chapter 8, there was a woman caught in adultery. That woman caught in adultery was drugged by a bunch of religious hypocrites who were trying to achieve righteousness by means of the law. They cast that woman down at Jesus' feet. They said the law of Moses commands her to be stoned to death. Jesus begins to show them what the grace of God and his whole purpose of coming to this earth was for. Not that the world would be condemned, but that the world through him would be saved. He goes on to say that I am the light of the world. They'd say your testimony is not true. You testify by yourself. You need at least two witnesses to confirm an issue amongst those Jewish brethren. And Jesus says, even if I testified to myself, my testimony would be true. I'm the light of the world. But if you need another testimony, God the Father testifies that I am the light of the world. And then Jesus says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Folks, Jesus begins to show them the letter of the law does kill. But me, the light of the world, I've come to set you free. He goes on in 8:32 and 36 and says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. People in bondage to sin, folks, condemned by the letter of the law. But Jesus came and shed his perfect blood on the cross of Calvary so that all those in bondage to sin could be saved by the grace of God. Folks, I want to tell you the Christian life is the opposite of what the ungodly and wicked think. It's not a life of bondage. It's a life of liberty when you get set free by the blood of Jesus from the awesome wickedness of sin and ungodly. Brother Elton, that's why you said, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And that's why everyone else, when they get saved by the grace of God and washed by the blood of the Lamb, realize they've been set free from a life of ungodliness and washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now there's liberty to worship Christ, to follow Christ. All of my sins are underneath the perfect, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Life apart from Christ has you nowhere but in bondage. Bondage to sin and ungodliness and wickedness. And folks, I want to tell you, after God saved me, he set me free from a lot of stuff. Drugs, alcohol, wickedness, ungodliness. I want to tell you, I thought I was living it up, boy. I thought I was cool and big and bad and all this ungodly stuff. I'm telling you, I was in bondage to a lifestyle of wickedness. And when I called upon the name of Jesus Christ and Jesus gave me eternal life and washed me of all of my sins, I finally understood what it meant to be set free by the grace and glory of God. To experience the redemption of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. Folks, God don't put you in bondage. God sets you free when you come to Christ and repent and follow him. We witnessed to a family member several times. As far as I know, that person died, and I don't know if anyone ever witnessed him ever pray to receive Christ or repent of his sins and follow Jesus. But I'll never, ever forget what that person told me. Why would I want to be a Christian? That's a boring life. I'm enjoying my life. Well, I got news for everybody out there who thinks the Christian life is a boring life. I'm having the most fun I've ever had in my life. Except now I'm not getting hit over the head with bottles. Now I'm not sitting in a cop car bringing me to the front door of my steps to tell my dad I got in trouble. Now I realize where I went last night. I remember who I was with and what I'd done, folks. Make no doubt about it. The Christian life is not a boring life. I'm the most excited and joyful person on the first face of this earth that I've been invited, and I'm delighted to the marriage supper of the Lamb, serving the great I am. Folks, I tell you what, it's a joy serving God. It ain't a drag. Whoever said the Christian life was boring? You think Paul on a sinking ship thought that was boring? You think Paul in prison being whipped and then seeing someone pray to receive Christ and repent was boring? You think seeing 5,000 people fed by a miracle of God was boring? I'd have loved to have been there when the Red Sea parted and they walked across. I'd have been picking up some fish along the way, my old Cajun self. Lord, we're going to have a fish fry when we get to the other side. Praise God. You think seeing three Hebrew boys cast into a fiery furnace and come out not even smelling the smoke was boring? Folks, I'm telling you, we might suffer and we may be persecuted, but I love and I enjoy serving the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. It's not a drag. It's not drudgery. It is such a joy. A life of liberty and then a life of loyalty to Christ. Look what verse 5 says. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee him. A life of loyalty to Christ. Now a person gets saved by the grace of God. They come through Jesus as the door of the sheepfold. And Jesus says, the voice of another. Speaking of those false messiahs and false teachers, even at that time, boy, how much more do we have a bunch of false gospels and preachers and teachers right now if they were way back when Jesus was warning the sheep? But a life of loyalty to Christ, folks, a life of loyalty to his word, a life of loyalty to sound doctrine. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't even know a lot of the scriptures. I remember stories that I learned as a young boy growing up in the word of God. But I tell you what, any of you men a flicker? You know what a flicker is? It's when you get that remote and you just flick and your wife, it drives them nuts. You just flick through the channels. And I was a flicker. I was flicking through the channels. And I can remember as a baby in Christ, these preachers would get on there and everybody was standing up and praise God, hallelujah, amen. And I'd be like, that's not in the word. Where did he get that from? And the Spirit of God would be convicting me in my spirit that something just wasn't right. Either that or I was doing something wrong. I didn't have no big diamond ring and no jet plane. I said, Lord, show me what they're doing. I want to do what they're doing. But God began to show me, folks, through his word and through his Holy Spirit, these guys are preaching heresy. Something is not right about this message. And I want to tell you something, folks. Thank God that when we truly get saved, and the Holy Spirit of God truly comes to live on the inside of us, we recognize the voice of God and we follow Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you, you better be very careful. Take every word that you hear and line it up with the Holy Word of God. Every preacher you hear, every Sunday school teacher you hear, don't just take it for granted because someone's got a suit on and got a lot of money, they're preaching truth. Matter of fact, I was born with nothing. I still got most of it left. But I know one thing. I have Jesus, folks. And as long as I've got Jesus and I've got the precious Holy Word of God, I can hear my Savior speak to me through his Word and his Holy Spirit and lead me and guide me and direct me and protect me from all of these false teachers and gospels all over the world. Creeping into many churches, flooding people's mind with foolishness. This is why we see all these so-called revivals, a flash in the pan, and then it disappears. I want to tell you, when God shows up on the scene and God really begins to speak and move, we will know and hear the voice of God and know that what's taking place is straight from the throne room of God. A life of loyalty to Christ, a stranger, they simply will not follow. Jesus says in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. You know, a very interesting thing about sheep herders in the Middle East. I heard a godly man once write about this. He said if he wouldn't have been overseas and seen it with his own two eyes, and this was years and years gone by, he wouldn't have believed it. He was at a water hole where the shepherds brought their sheep to get water. And as they came in and they began to get water, they would have different shepherds there and different herds of sheep. Shepherds would sit back and relax while the sheep were getting nurtured by the water and getting refreshment. And when that shepherd would get ready to lead his sheep away from the water to the pasture, in Arabic, he would say out some words. And with different flocks there, only his sheep would follow him and they would come away. He said it was amazing. It was like a miracle of God that took place. And you know what it is, folks? Those sheep had been around that shepherd so often and so closely. They understood the tone and the voice of their shepherd. Because after all that he'd done, he led them through the pastures to get fed. He led them to the water holes. They were with that shepherd day and night. They heard and understood his voice because they were so close to him constantly over and over and over again. And he said he wouldn't have believed it if he wouldn't have seen it with his own two eyes. And as another shepherd got ready for his sheep to leave, he would call out some commands and those sheep would all lift up and go follow that shepherd. And he would just start walking away. And those sheep would turn from that water as their shepherd began to walk away. They knew who to follow. They knew his voice. And I want to tell you something, folks. When you truly get saved, you begin to understand and hear the voice of God. God speaks to you. He convicts you through his Holy Spirit. He instructs you through his Holy Word. He takes care of you as a good shepherd. And you follow him. But you know, the same is true with false teachers and preachers and even the devil himself. They will hang you out to dry. You will find yourself still as lost as you were the day you followed the false teacher. Confusion, chaos, destruction. Always thinking that there's some other way out there besides the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see the door of provision. He says in verse 9, he will go in and out and find pasture in verse 9. Jesus provides our spiritual nourishment according to the Word of God. I like what David wrote in Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Everyone finds nourishment somewhere, people. For instance, a person can find their nourishment in self-righteousness. A person can find their nourishment in religion. A person can find their nourishment, a drunkard, in drinking alcohol. One can find their nourishment in drug addiction. Another can find their nourishment in lying. Another can find their nourishment in stealing. But the child of God finds his nourishment in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and following Christ as a sheep who follows the shepherd. That's where your nourishment comes from. This is why so many people say, well, I've tried religion. And I always tell them, man, I hate religion. But I love a relationship with Jesus. And they look at you like a sheep looking at a new gate. Because, folks, religion won't get you nowhere except a front row seat to hell. But a relationship with the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll begin to find your nourishment in the Lord Jesus Christ and your contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't have to go nowhere else, folks, to be spiritually satisfied when you truly get saved by the grace of God. I'll never forget a lot of my buddies saying, oh, you'll be back. You'll be back. You're just going through a phase. Well, I'm on a 30-year phase, and I hadn't went back yet. Because I find all of my joy and all of my nourishment in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Where shall I go? He has the words to eternal life. Folks, I don't have nowhere else to go. Except from here up. That's my next move. Like the old country preacher said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker. Amen. Fixing to get on out of here. Either by death or way of the rapture, folks, there's only one way from here, and that's up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. That's where I find my nourishment. That's where I hang my hat on the righteousness of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and the provisions that he's given me to walk through this earth and remain faithful. And then we see spiritual refreshment. He says in verse 9, he will go in and out and find pasture. Just as the shepherd would lead those sheep to go and find green pasture, after eating and grazing, he would bring them to a water hole so that they could be refreshed and get nourishment. And just like sheep who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to think about this. Isn't it true, even though we find our nourishment in the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't have to go anywhere else for satisfaction and contentment as a sheep as we follow the shepherd, we need times of refreshing over and over and over again. And God is faithful. That's those times when you feel like giving up, you feel like quitting. You feel like you've given God just about everything you can give him, but you're still dry and you need to be revived. And Jesus, as your shepherd, refreshes you over and over and over again. That's how awesome God is. He knows what we need before we ask. And we can come to the throne room of God and receive mercy and find help in a time of need. Aren't you glad, like Paul wrote in Philippians 1:6, we can be confident of this very thing? He began a good work in us and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, there's a 3-point sermon right there. We can be confident of our salvation, be confident of this very thing, God begun a good work. We can be confident of our sanctification, God begin a good work, he will complete it. And we can be confident in our glorification. Be confident of this very thing. He begun a good work in us. He will perform it until when? The day of Jesus Christ. We serve a good, good shepherd. He saves us. He protects us. He takes care of us. And glory be to God. One day as the great shepherd and the chief shepherd as he appears, he's going to sweep us up into glory. And we will be with our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, forever and ever and ever. I don't know about you, but I'm here to testify of this great shepherd. He came and found me and saved me by the grace of God, and he's been taking care of me ever since. And I'm not going to look for no other pasture. All of my pasture and all of my nourishment this morning, I'm here to tell you with great joy, is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You get saved by the grace of God today and follow the door of the sheepfold, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never have to go look anywhere else. Now, you realize that instead of running from him, you should be running to him as the door of the sheepfold. No greater joy in all my life, folks, than when I got saved. And I tell people all the time, I've never seen a dissatisfied customer when it comes to being saved by the grace of God. How many of you have a good shepherd and a great shepherd that saved you by his grace? And I want to ask you something here this morning. We saw someone get baptized because they want to follow Jesus. They want to repent. Follow Christ, come through the only door available that there is. And that's awesome. We praise God for that. But you know what's heartbreaking, folks? Millions and millions of people are trying some other way to get into the kingdom of God except come through Jesus as the door of the sheepfold. And there's no other way. Everybody's wanting to change it. Everybody's wanting to rewrite the Bible. Everybody's wanting to accept every ungodly, wicked denomination and false teaching that there is on the face of this earth. But folks, I'm telling you, John 14:6 will stand for eternity. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless he comes through me, Jesus said. Have you repented? Have you turned from your sins? Have you followed Christ? Have you laid your life down for Jesus and followed him? And if not, you're going to spend eternity in hell separated from God. But the offer still stands. You can step out today and repent and turn from your sins. And folks, you know what we're wanting in the day and age? Let's just be honest with each other. We're wanting a salvation that calls for no repentance. I can keep living ungodly and sinful and sexual immorality and drugs and alcohol, and just say I'm saved and on my way to heaven. People are saying it all over. This big old thing with Bud Light and Dylan McVaney, whatever his name is, everybody's making such a big deal out of that. And I heard from his own mouth, he said, I'm still practicing my faith. Which faith? In who? You can't have faith in Christ and be a transgender, folks. You have to repent. You have to turn from your sins. I don't care how your mom and daddy raised you, what tendencies you think you have. You were born a woman or a man, and the Bible still stands. And if you die in your sins without repenting, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Folks, I tell you what, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. I've been called all kind of things. I've been called a dictator. I've been called an agitator. I've been called a couch potato. But folks, I know whom I have, believe it, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. If God be for me, who can be against me? I've decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me. I'm still gonna follow regardless of the name calling or the persecution. God's called me to preach. He hadn't called me to back down and cower down to all of this ungodliness and this wickedness. I set my face toward God. I've opened up the Word of God and preached it since the day I got saved. And I'll be preaching it until the day I die without fear or without favor of man. So don't pull me aside after the sermon and say, well, I just disagree with you. Well, then you're disagreeing with God's Word. Take it up with Him. He wrote it. And so I'm simply telling you this morning, if you're lost in sin, you know you need to be saved. You're committing sins and ungodliness and living separated from God. Maybe you just think you're a good moral person. Your goodness isn't going to get you anywhere. There's none righteous, no, not one. There are none who seek God. You've got to get to the point where you realize you're a sinner, you're ungodly, you're wicked, and if you repent and come to Christ and ask Jesus to save you from your sins, He will save you and give you eternal life. And apart from holiness, no man will see God. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Separate from your sin and the ungodliness of this world if you want to follow Christ. That's the only way. If you're here this morning and you've never repented and prayed and invited Christ into your heart and followed Him faithfully, I pray today you'd step out and say, you know what? I realize, Brother Marty, you can't save me. This church can't save me. No Sunday school teacher, no deacon can save me. My mom can't save me. My dad can't save me. My grandfather can't save me. But I want to repent and call upon Jesus and follow Him because He's the only one that could save me by the grace of God. If that's the conviction of your heart and you're willing to repent and serve God and follow Him faithfully, I pray you'll step out as Brother Jeff comes up and begins to sing and lead this hymn invitation. We got Christians all over this congregation praying for you if you're lost. And if you're a Christian, I pray you'd come down to this altar right where you at and pray and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over your family members, your friends, your co-workers who are lost, that they would be saved by the grace of God before it's too late. Folks, I want to tell you, we better get serious about God because He's coming.